the latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident Personal Credit.
Kia ora, g'day and good evening. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show here on Pulse One, and we'll be discussing all things rugby from around the world. The twosome are in full effect once again. Leon Price and yours truly. We also have one of the stalwarts and all-around nice guy of the Bradford Bulls, the man that I like to call the postman because he always delivers, one of the most consistent players the Bradford Bulls has seen recently in our times. That is none other than Adrian Purtell. And tonight we'll also be giving away two tickets to the Battle of the Championship. Yes, that match, Bradford Bulls versus the Leeds Centurions match, coming up next weekend on Sunday the 19th. To win those two tickets, just answer this question. What NRL club did Bull star Adrian Purtell, our guest tonight, join the Bulls from? Was it the Penrith Panthers or was it South Sydney Rabbitohs? Now, you can contact us via the website at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show or use Twitter and hashtag RHP show. Send us your answers. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
Adrian, welcome to the show. Round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. Round of applause. Welcome to the show, pal. How you doing?
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me. I hope that nickname sticks.
Can you call me the postman
for the whole show?
Just
now?
The whole show. We're just going to relate to Pertz as the postman. The postman Pertz, not postman Pat.
It's got a ring to it, doesn't it?
It just goes and goes, doesn't it?
I would love to be a postman, maybe. I know that.
My brother's a postman.
Is he?
Yeah, he is.
I didn't know that. Yeah, Carl the postman.
Yeah. Carl the postman.
I remember when we were younger, I remember sitting in up at the club one day, and I said to you, Leon was only 18 years of age at the time, and I said, Leon, you know, I'm a little bit older than you. I think I was 19. Leon, what are you thinking of doing after you finish rugby? And this, you said this, no word of a lie. You said you wanted to be a postman. Why did you say you wanted to do it?
Start early, finish early.
you said, that's right. Yeah, said you'd be finished by 12 o'clock and you'd be in the pub eating crisps. Straight to the pub. Hey, Pertz. Oh, sorry, postman Pertz. I think that's going to stick. Postman Pertz. Are you feeling a little blue today? Get it? In inverted commas, blue,
mate,
today?
I am, definitely. I'm very proud New South Welshman. And I actually didn't see the game, but I was reading it over Twitter, and it was very hard.
You didn't
hard
want
to
see
take.
That game,
no, I didn't
mate.
Want to see it anyway. It's probably a good thing.
52 points to 6. For those of you that are uneducated in the world, the international world of rugby league, what was on today was the third and final match. It was a one-all series in the State of Origin down under, Queensland versus New South Wales. It was 1-1 leading up to this match. All of Pert's fellow county men, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, were talking it up. They were saying how they were going to do this to the Maroons up in Queensland, how they were going to do that to the Maroons. A lot of them had hit some performance, but it's not about the individuals in these games. It's about the full, complete unit, and there was an absolute hiding. You got absolutely demolished, 52 points to 6.
Record score.
It was a record, wasn't a record score, but it was a record points difference. I don't think any team's been beaten by 46 points before. No, how does that make you feel as a New South Welshman?
Yeah, it was for me it hurts that you grow up and you watch the legendary teams that had Daly, Stewart, Eddinghausen, New South Wales up until 10 years ago. And we're quite a dominant team.
And they were the team that were picking up the plaudits all for all those years. Yeah. Interestingly, though, they made up the nucleus of the international team also, isn't it? So they got to play together for a long time. And do you agree that one of the big problems for New South Wales is that they've been switching, chopping and changing their team? Whereas you look at Queensland, for example, they've kept the nucleus of their team together.
Yeah, definitely. It's got to play a part. And I think even when Queensland players weren't playing their best rugby, they would still stick with the team that did so well the year before and the series before, and they just stick with the same consistent team, and they've just got quality players all over the park. And it's probably reversed now. They've got so many Australians in their team, so they've got the benefit of playing international rugby together as well.
All right, I got to admit, they looked very, very strong today. They come out and it was a complete dominant performance all over the park, and there's some soul searching going on with the New South Wales.
If you look at that team, you've got Inglis, Cooper Cronk, Thurston, Cameron Smith, you're 6'7", 1'9", pretty much all-time great players.
Billy Slater's injured as well.
And Billy Slater's out. So the nucleus of their team will go down as some of the best players that's ever played the game. So it's just that
era. You're struggling if Billy Slater's not playing and you can put English at fullback.
English at fullback. It's like it's relentless, isn't it? It just keeps on coming. Oh, I tell you what, it made me really happy. I've got three. I grew up with a close-knit group of friends. There were five of us all together, and we all grew up in that same generation you did, and New South Wales was so strong. Well, I mean, I was a big Canberra fan, as you were, as I know you grew up in that neck of the wood also. They had some great New Zealanders that played for Canberra over the years, Quinton Pongia and Ruben Wiki, before he went across back down to the New Zealand Warriors. But I was a fan of that generation of players as well, and during that time, New South Wales were the dominant team. So three of my mates, obviously, they claimed themselves to be New South Welshmen, even though they were Kiwis. And then the other two, me and my mate Wendell, we decided to be the Maroons players. And since then, it's just been... But since, obviously, since you guys won the second State of Origin match, I got to admit, I've been given grief for the last 2 weeks, so I've had a good day today. I've been very happy.
I think it was a bit premature, to be honest. I think we won a series last year, the first in eight.
Yeah.
And everyone got a bit confident. I think Queensland just went about their job and just showed how professional they are and really had the last laugh.
We're 52 points to six. That is one heck of a last laugh. Just talking about that, you know, what other, talking about you personally growing up, tell us a little bit about yourself, Perts, where you grew up and how you ended up playing this fantastic sport of ours.
Yeah, I grew up in a town called Albury. It's on the south. It's on the border of New South Wales and Victoria, so it's as far south as you can go in New South Wales. The closest NRL team, probably Canberra or Melbourne, 3 hours, both 3 hour drive. So at 17, I got picked up by Canberra, which was perfect. It was one of the closest teams. I couldn't wait to get up there and spent the best part of my adolescence there, from 17 to 24, with some of my best mates. Just really loved it, playing the game. I come from an area, Albury, where it's mainly Aussie rules, but my old man, captain coached all over New South Wales, so it was sort of in my blood and had the choice of any sport I wanted to play, but just had too much fun playing rugby league, and it's a decision that, yeah, I've loved every minute of it.
Canberra, Bradford, similar weather, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
you know,
the thing,
when we think of Australia, we think sun, sea and beach and fun, you know, and, you know, bikinis and suntan lotion and sunglasses. But I've been to Canberra. It's cold there, man.
I think we played two games in the snow there. So it's when people ask me, they go, well, what's the weather? I said, it's not too dissimilar from home. You got to be kidding. And then the second one is, can you surf? And I can't surf either. So I'm used to the weather and I can't surf. But look, in winter, it's very cold, Canberra. It's only half hour away from the snow fields. Summer's a different story. It's nice weather in summer, but a bit like the weather we've had over here in this summer.
Now, a good pal of Leon is Ellie Whitehead. He's going from Catalans next year to Canberra. How do you think he's going to go down over there?
Really good. I've got a lot of time for Smelly. He was at the club when I first came over, so I spent a lot of time with him and like him as a bloke. And as a rugby league player, I really rate what he does on a field. He can play 80 minutes. He's dangerous in attack, and he's quite aggressive in defence as well. So a few people from Canberra messaged me at the club. I still get along with the people that work there. And they asked me how he goes, and I couldn't give him enough praises, and I really do hope that he goes well over there.
Well, he was a strike weapon for the Bradford Bulls, and I'm sure, and he's been a strike weapon for Catalans, definitely. I think he topped the try-scoring count for forwards last year in the Super League. So, obviously, he has got some absolutely brilliant innate talent, you know, individual ability, you know, just the natural sort of rugby league player.
He scores a lot of tries, which probably separates him from a lot of hard-working back rowers who do a good job, but he not only does that, but offers just something else in attack.
That's right. Leon, you had a busy weekend. Obviously, we did the show last week. You didn't play against Wakefield. You guys picked up a loss against Wakefield, had to face them again on Sunday, and they pushed you all the way, didn't they?
Yeah, very, very nerve-wracking game. It went the full 80 minutes. probably the result wasn't secured until the last probably 5 or 6 minutes of that game when Sneedy kicked a drop goal. So they're very, very much improved team at Wakefield, and they pushed us all the way.
And what was it about, you know, what was it about, how was the camp after Wednesday's defeat, and how was it turned around to make sure that you guys would come away with the points? Because looking at the table, you guys are sitting in on 18 points, you're on exactly the same amount of points with the whole KR. It's a squeaky backside time, but you've got a bit of points for and against, so you can't really afford to let anything slip, and you do have to play whole KR in these last three games coming up also, don't you?
Yeah, it's going to be tough and tense, and I think that's the best thing about the Super 8, this new format, is that it makes you've got to play every game. You know, it's like we have got to be in that top eight, and it's nerve-wracking time. I've not really been, well, I've never been in this position before. I've always been at the top end of the table somewhere. So it's all the teams from there, from down there have got a chance of getting in there, really, from UKR, and Salford are starting to play well. Widnes, you know, may be out of it, but I think between us, UKR, and maybe one more team, they've got a chance, they've all got a chance of getting in that top eight, really.
Mm-hmm. And Perch, obviously you've been, the Bulls have been going along winning the majority of their games, a couple of losses this year, but we've consolidated, we'll finish either first or finish second. Leon's talked about the pressure put on those teams that are in the mix in the Super League, trying to avoid coming back down into those middle eights. How's it been performing this year from a championship point of view and a team that's been very successful in the championship?
Yeah,
the new format is what I'm asking.
Yeah, well, same for us. I think we're under no illusions that once we go into that middle eights, it's just going to be another step in class, and the intensity of them games is just going to be on a whole new level. I think the season has set us up well for that, to get confidence, get used to playing with each other, you know, and some good wins. So as a team, we've really gelled together, and we're all looking forward to it. It's, like I said, we're under no illusions. It's going to be a whole new class in that middle eights, but something that I think this season has prepared us well for.
Intense run-in, Sheffield this weekend, Lee Centurions next weekend, and then we've got Halifax just to finish it off. At Halifax, who have hit some real form, do you think that intensity of those games and top four championship teams at this point in time is the right recipe leading into the Super 8s?
Yeah, I think it is, because, you know, if we had probably played... no disrespect to some of them lower teams, we would have played three of those games leading into these middle eights, and we would have been at a completely different intensity level.
Yeah, maybe a little bit undercooked.
Yeah, definitely. So, and the teams that we're playing against, Sheffield have, you know, want to win to consolidate their spot. Halifax will want to win to consolidate their spot. Lee will want to win for top of the table.
Yep.
So they're all games that are going to be important to the teams we're playing against. So it's going to be a real good test for the middle eight.
Everything to play for in all levels of the sport. Now, we've got loads to cover, including look at all of the sports hot topics. We'll also have a quick look back at what went on over the weekend. All that and more coming up after this break. So stay with us here on Pulse 1.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880.
Pulse 1.
The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Hey, West Yorkshire, Robbie Hunter Paul here, and we're talking rugby league every Wednesday evening here on Pulse 1. Now, tonight you can win two tickets to the Battle of the Championship, the Bradford Bulls versus Lee Centurions match, coming up next weekend on Sunday the 19th. All you have to do is answer this question: what NRL club did the postman Purtell, Adrian Purtell, play for when he joined the Bulls? Was it the Penrith Panthers or was it South Sydney Rabbitohs? You can contact us via the website at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show, or use Twitter and just hashtag RHP show and send us your answers. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, and what we're going to do right now, we're going to have a quick look back at last weekend's results. First, we'll start off in the Super League. Castleford Tigers, 34 points to Widnes's 20. Huddersfield Giants had a win at home, 32 points to 14 over UKR. Leon had a tough game against Wakefield Trinity Wildcats, 31 points to 24. This is round 20 we're looking at. We've got in the other games already. Leeds Rhinos absolutely smashed St Helens at home, 46 points to 18. And that was an interesting game. Did you guys see that?
I missed it.
Oh, St Helens, they couldn't hold the ball from the kickoff. They just could not hold the ball. They were hopeless, weren't they?
I missed it as well.
Oh, so. You both missed it. Well,
yeah,
if you watched it, man, you could see, you all agree with me, they were absolutely useless. They would have gone away, kicked some stones. They would have, I'm sure Kieran Cunningham was just not good enough.
No, it wasn't very
not happy. For the standards that they set themselves and for where they sit currently in the table. That was a great opportunity for them to really slip ahead of Leeds Rhinos. It would have been 28 points to 27 if they had got the win against Leeds Rhinos that night. So, but they're off the mark, and it happens to all teams, the best teams in the world. They will have an off day. Salford Red Devils had a close game against Catalans Dragons, 18 points to 14. Interesting one. They had 5,000 supporters, just over 5,000 supporters turn up. They opened the gates to the... I think they've been averaging about 2,000, so not a bad marketing ploy, maybe. You guys reckon, you know, if you've gone over 100%.
Is that because they let them in for free?
Yeah, they let them in for free.
Yeah, well, they've got to try something.
They open their gates and they let them in for free.
They try to just get new fans and reach out there. I mean, at least he's trying something, isn't it?
And it looked like a close game at the moment. Salford Red Devils are sitting second to bottom on the table. They're equal points with Widnes Vikings, but Widnes have points in hand against them. And the final game of that Super League round was Warrington Wolves 17 points to Wigan Warriors 6. I think that was on the Thursday night.
Yep.
Did you see that game?
I didn't see the game, but I saw that try by Milo. That was class.
Did you see that on social media?
Yeah,
what about it? I mean, that try again with Kevin Penny the week before, leaving the ground and getting the ball down. Which one would you have?
I'd take Milo's. Every day at week, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I've not seen anything like that ever before.
You know, the surprise in his own eyes when he got the ball back, you know, when he was sliding in.
Just did it so nonchalant, didn't he? Just tapped it with his foot.
The first kick was brilliant, actually, because it was a nice little grubber that wasn't too long. It was just short and it popped up. Probably didn't pop up as he would like. He probably would have liked it to pop up into his hand, but it came up just high enough and he was able to get his toe to it. And he chip kicked it over. Over the fullback's head. Now back down in the championship, Batley Bulldogs 34 points to Doncaster 6. Doncaster still struggling to get off that bottom of the barrel. Featherstone Rovers must have invested all their energy into the game against the Bradford Bulls on the Wednesday evening because they come up short against Dewsbury. Dewsbury came back from behind to grab a couple of points from them. The score in that game was 30 points to 32. And the fallout from that is Featherstone coach Richard Hayes stepping down. Decided to step down and quit Featherstone Rovers. They had a fallout with the board and they both agreed by mutual consent to part ways.
After beating you guys on the Wednesday?
After beating us on the Wednesday.
Wow, strange,
big caller.
It's an interesting one. You would think that, you know, the success of what happened on the Wednesday night would have been enough to ride it through, but I think it's just a bit disappointed to let go of those points. And oh, well, it's a funny game, old rugby league, isn't it? And that loss actually allowed them to slip back into fifth place just outside their top four. So as you were talking about the pressure, Leon, obviously the pressure comes at every level of and every tier. So Halifax had a strong win over the Sheffield Eagles at home, 38 points to 10. Perth's just looking at that. Halifax really in some strong form at this point in time.
Yeah, every game that we've played against Halifax this year has been tough. It's been very physical. And they look like a dangerous team coming into form at the right time of year.
They certainly are. London Broncos found winning ways once again back down at the high, 40 points to 24. And Workington Town, they copped a hiding from Lee Centurions, 50 points to 12. And I think that was to be expected as an outcome. Lee Centurions sitting on top of the table with the Bradford Bulls and Workington struggling at the bottom of the table also. The other West Yorkshire team down in the Kingston Press competition, and that is, where are they? Keithley Cougars, they give Oxford an absolute hiding, 44 points to 14 at home. Good to see Keithley going strong still. Boys, let's have a look at some of the hot topics in the world of rugby league. You know, this time of the year, we're just talking about quickly about the Featherstone coach stepping down. Bit of a tough one, eh? Yeah, I think that's a good example of what Leon was saying about feeling the pressure. But this time of the year is when players start, you know, looking to move to other clubs because they're not getting game time. And coaches, if they are going to fall, they are going to fall at this time. There's not a lot of time before we get to those Super 8s. What are your thoughts on that, Adrian?
Yeah,
Adrian, postman Perth.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? They've had arguably their biggest win of the year against us on Wednesday, and then it changes within 4 days, they lose to Dewsbury. I think at this time of year as well, there's only 3 games to go. You probably wouldn't want too much disruption in a squad that's fighting for them top four. You go into the top four of the championship and you've got a new coach. It can work the other way where all the players, you know,
they band together.
They do, yeah, but whether that works for the whole 7 games, if they get into the top four, I'm not sure. But you'd have to think that there's been some other issues before that loss for it to change.
Yeah,
4 days. You know,
there's always got to be some underlying issues, isn't there?
Yeah.
Okay, moving forward, Leon, one of our old mates, Brian McDermott, he's accepted The Tomahawks job in American Rugby League for the next World Cup. That's an interesting one, isn't it?
How are the Americans going to bet one to send him? crazy man.
I sent him a text today just saying, I'm going to love it. Love hearing you with an American accent. Yeehaw!
God damn.
You can just imagine it, eh?
It's good. I think it'd be good for his experience as a coach. I think he was talking about people talking him up for the England job at some point. But I think he's given his backing for Steve Mack, saying how well that Steve Mack's done in the England job and that he'd like to see him continue doing that job over the next couple of years. So I think for Brian it'll be a really good experience in coaching a lower team with less expectancy, where he maybe has to do a little bit more coaching, you know, international wise. It'd be quite a challenge for him, I reckon, a good challenge.
Well, that came out this week, and I was speaking to Macca on the weekend because he came out to watch Hunslet and the Bradford Bulls play, because Hunslet is one of the teams that Leeds have a lot of their and dual registration players playing, and he didn't let slip. I thought that he accepted the role, but it probably was accepted a while ago. They're a decent team in the last World Cup. They actually they surprised quite a few of the home nations, Pacific nations, with wins over the likes of the Cook Islands, and they ended up going all the way through to the quarterfinals as well. So there's a foundation, but you'll see that there's actually quite a few Australians that end up playing for America. So I'm not sure where they get their talent pool. Perts, have you been asked to play for America?
I've tried to play for any country. I would have got nothing in me. Grandparents must have been on that first boat over there. I've got nothing.
You've been looking for a reason to join a team. Manu Motuhake, I think that's a New Zealand team that we all used to try and play for when we were growing up as well. All right, stay around, listeners. We'll be back soon. Loads more hot topics, including a couple of yours, all that and more coming soon. You're with Robbie Hunter-Paul on Pulse 1.
The Robbie Hunter-Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880.
Pulse 1.
On 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB, and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 1.
You're listening to RHP, and I've got the Earl of Rugby League with me, as well as the Postman Pertel, and we're waxing lyrical about rugby league and all things fun in West Yorkshire. If it's got to do with rugby, that is. Again, tonight we will be giving away two tickets to the Battle of the Championship. That's the Bradford Bulls versus Lee Centurions match coming up next weekend on Sunday the 19th. You've got to answer this question. What NRL club did the Postman Pertel play for before he joined the Bulls? Was it the Penrith Panthers or was it South Sydney Rabbitohs? You can contact us via the website at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show, or use Twitter and hashtag RHP show and send us your answers. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show once again, and we're talking hot topics. The Battle of the Smiths Brothers comes up tomorrow night, I think it is. I think it's on Thursday night. Tony Smith versus Brian Smith. They face off for the first time they've ever coached teams against one another. How do you think that's going to go? Obviously, Warrington just coming back into some form now. But Wakefield, there's been a resurgent Wakefield. They'll be going into this game with absolutely nothing to lose. Both of the coaches, obviously, they like to play mind games. They've been around quite a while, the masters of mind games, really. So what are your thoughts on the outcome of that game?
I think it's already seen an improvement in Wakefield's performance, having a new coach over it with the experience Brian Smith has got. But I think, they'll probably put aside that it's, going against his brother for the first time. He's got some more important things coming up in the next three rounds, so he's probably just focusing on a good team performance and getting Wakefield where he wants them to be come the middle eight, I'd say.
I'd say it's a quite important game too, because Warrington aren't secure yet in the top eight. They're only sitting 2 points above. Are they on 20 points?
They're on 20 points, yeah.
So they're not secure yet, so they'll be taking this game still very seriously and try to keep up a little bit of momentum for these last three games.
What about the brotherly thing, though? It's always, you'll hear their answers professionally. Someone put a microphone in front of them and you're going to go, you know what, no, I'm focusing on the team performance and all that sort of stuff. But really, when you grow up in each other's shadow, there's a little bit of, I can promise you now, I was like that with Henry. Well, we were always competing.
Brian Smith will definitely want to beat Tony Smith.
Oh, 100%.
100%. Just to show him who the boss is. I'm still the big dog. I've got you well covered, Tony. Sit back down and get out of the way. And Tony will be probably thinking the same thing back to him. So it'll be interesting.
That's my opportunity. Tony's a younger brother.
Is it the first time that coaches have faced each other?
Yeah, this is the first time. Yeah,
it's good. It's good. It's going to be funny. I'm looking forward to that result.
I try to put myself in their shoes because obviously growing up when you're the younger brother, and Carl will feel exactly the same as I felt growing up, Leon, because obviously you were the older one. You, as a younger brother, you look up to him, but at the same time as that, you set that benchmark. You're that person you're competing against and you're having to sort of reach that. And once you become an adult, you think to yourself, you know what? I want to stretch out on my own here. I want to make my own mark.
And unfortunately for you and our Carl, you never quite got over the big brothers, did you? You're both similar in that respect too.
Yeah, no, it's a heavy bag of bricks that I carry. And moving quickly along, Tony Smith also, we've talked about it quite a bit. He's talked openly about getting and bringing in some experience. He's been linked with Parramatta Eels star Chris Sando. That would be a big player for the Super League, let alone Warrington Wolves.
Would he be either a marquee signing?
You'd expect so. Sando, a high-profile back down under. It probably costs a lot of money. They have an extraordinarily large salary cap in comparison to the Super League. What are your thoughts on Chris Sando? Good player, would be good for the Super League. Perch, you've probably seen a little bit more than the rest of the British game has.
Yeah, he's definitely got a talent. There's no doubt about that. He's on his day, he can turn a game at home, and he still is. Just only a couple of weeks ago, he's the best on the field for one of Parramatta's wins. I think it's noted in his career that it's more the off-field stuff with Chris Sandow, and it's about getting his head right. So, you know, if he gets a coach that knows how to work with him and bring out the best
with
him.
Well, actually, educate me, because I'm not too keyed up on what mischief he's been. I'm guessing it's mischief.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been up to a little bit of mischief, has he?
Well, I think he's just had some, gambling issues, and he had some problems with crashing a car and stuff. Nothing major.
But let's talk about the world back down. And obviously, you've played in the NRL. You've lived in that fishbowl that is the NRL. What's it like? What's the difference? I know for sure, speaking to when I was in camp with the New Zealand international team, how much they enjoyed coming to England because people were passionate about their rugby league, but paparazzi weren't following you around. People weren't interested in every little thing that you did. What's it like for the stars down under?
Yeah, and I'm completely the same with that as well. It's like everyone loves their rugby over here, but you can then go and enjoy yourself and have a beer with your mates on the weekend after, and it'd be no dramas. At home, I can only imagine what it's like for players as Chris Sandow and the real stars of the NRL who live in Sydney. They're the halfback of a big Sydney team. All the pressure's on them. So it's almost like the media want to see a bad story. So the boys like to go out and enjoy themselves like anywhere else and never be...
That's the reality of it. Controversy sells. Leon tries to go up Whipsy High Street and have a beer all the time.
I finished Whipsy. I've stopped going there about 5 years ago.
Oh, that right. Where is it now? Queensbury.
I don't go out there anymore.
In your backyard, and the paparazzi are putting their camera phones over your back fence and taking photos of you in your backyard having a barbecue. You can't escape the limelight, the Earl of Rugby League.
No, I'm out of it now.
The Prince of Rugby League. That's what he is.
Too old for all that rubbish now.
Big one, actually. I've not actually started on you yet with this, and it's remiss that I haven't. New Zealand, how do you feel about, you know, being a proud Australian that you are and lived and brought up in the culture of rugby league? How does it feel being number two in the world, not number one anymore? Can you just remind me who's number one?
Obviously, I think it's great for the sport, to be quite honest.
A very diplomatic answer. I don't know the truth, though.
Yeah, I'll tell you when we're off. But I think... Yeah, as a rugby league team, everyone just got so, I guess, used to Australia winning, being number one, and I can't.
I got to admit, Leon, did you ever get used to them winning? It never sat well with me.
No.
Although I did actually experience quite a number of those, really aren't sitting well with me, sadly, painful.
Mate, well, it was always good to watch an Australian team, and I guess as an Australian youngster who loves rugby league, you did expect Australia to win more times than not, and they did.
I still do. When you watch Australia play, you think they're going to win.
I do.
Yeah. It's all about New Zealand now. Marty Tarpe.
That's the challenge that New Zealand face. I think Australia's shown that they're consistently that good over however many years it's been, 20, 30, whatever years. So if New Zealand are the real deal and want to, you know, make their mark and say, all right, then we'll come at you again next year and do the same to you. And, you know, like you say, some of the players they got coming through, exciting young players.
What do you mean? So you're talking about for New Zealand to really set their stall out and plant that flag in the ground. It's about consistency, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
I just want to point out that I think we've won 5 of the 7 last major trophies.
Well done.
4 Nations.
Congratulations.
World Cups. Okay, we lost the last World Cup, but yeah. 5 of the 7 last major trophies. That's why we're now number one.
Yeah. So deservedly too. So the pressure's on.
But that's consistent.
Yeah, it is.
That's
consistent. Sure,
that's like 10 years of dominance.
Yeah, 10. 10-ish.
10-ish years. The real where I'm leading on to there is Sean O'Loughlin is stating this year against the international match for England against New Zealand at the end of the year is boom or bust for this England squad. Well, what are your thoughts on that, Leon?
I just think it's always boom or bust, isn't it? Every time we lose a series, next year, that's the important one. And then we'll lose again. Oh, next year, that's a really important
But this
one.
Is what I'm saying. Sean O'Loughlin's saying that it's this year.
Oh, right,
it's this year.
All right, okay.
It has to be this year or else something's got to change. I think he mentions in the interview that he was talking that Steve McNamara set a 5-year plan in position. They've been plucky losers, as it was described, over the past few years. They've been getting better and growing stronger and stronger, I think, which we've all recognised. But this year is where they have to turn those words into action.
Yeah, I think.
Do you agree with
that? Well, seeing an improvement of an international team is always, it's always good. But at the end of the day, it's all about the results. And if the same team keeps getting picked and not getting the results, in the end up, something's got to change somewhere down the line. In my opinion, an international team should be picked from the players that are on form. Not always like for me, England's turned into a bit of a club selection. Players that are tried and tested, a little bit like the way that Queensland put the team. But for me, as a player, when I played international wise, if you're in red hot form, you should be in an international team. Elliot Whitehead last year, best back rowing competition, couldn't get the England team.
I think he got 3 minutes against Samoa.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean, and he was the best English back rower all season. So for me, I'm not a big fan of the England club scene. I like it to be players that are on form, be picked. Danny Brough, best halfback, best six for the last 2 or 3 years in competition. Why is he not playing?
Because he's Scottish.
No, he wasn't Scottish. They told him the one's going to get picked, so that's why he chose to play for Scotland.
He said his stall out. He was quite public in stating that this is the reason why I'm setting my stall out with Scotland is because I'm not going to get the opportunity.
They told him he wasn't going to get picked, and I don't believe that. I think he was the best six
so
at the time.
So in saying that, at the time, obviously, I think it was a roll of the dice between him or Rangi Chase.
Yeah.
The Rangi Chase thing, really, that someone has to put their hand up and say that didn't work.
It's no problem. That's no problem if it didn't work. But if it's not working, change it and bring Brough in and give him his chance. The guy's been played probably the best six in competition for the last 3 years. Give the kid a go.
Do you think he'll take it? Being that he was so,
he would have done back then, but he wouldn't do now. You can't tell a player you're not going to be playing. I'm going to go with these halfbacks. Well, what about if your form changes? Or if you start playing poorly? What if somebody plays red hot like Brough has? It's been to England's demise, in my opinion.
Yes. Pertz, every week we get a Leon rant.
Yeah.
And we just had it.
I liked it, yeah.
He gets impassioned and he says what he believes. But, okay, so leading up to this, so who would be your halfback choices for England as we speak right now? Because Gareth Woodup down under is absolutely killing it.
Well,
he's playing brilliantly.
Well, he'd be a six then, wouldn't he? And then what about, I don't know if Matty Smith or... Who else is the sevens that are
they're
English?
They're talking about Gailey at the moment.
Yeah, Luke Gayle's been playing well. He's up there for Albert Goldthorpe medal. He's right up there. So, yeah, I'd like to give... If you're playing well in a good team, give him a chance. Give him a chance if he's not played. Give him a go. No, there's so many players that sometimes don't get given a chance to play at national level, especially at the moment. Give them a chance if they're playing well.
And I think on that note, because Luke Gayle isn't part of the setup as it speaks right now, you would have to be shoehorned in into that group.
Absolutely. It's not like anybody. There's no other English scrum half that's out there killing it at the moment, is there? Not in this competition or in the NRL. So if somebody's up there playing good, he's doing well, good job for Cass, give him a go, give him a chance.
Well, we've just had it then, the Leon Price rant. Coming next, we'll look forward to all of the weekend's upcoming games as well, reading out tonight's winner of the 2 tickets for next weekend's Battle of the Championship match between Table Toppers, Bradford Bulls and Lee Centurions. Stay with us. You're on Pulse 1.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880.
Pulse 1.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show here on Pulse One, and we're continuing on with our look at all things rugby league with the postman Pertel and the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price. But first, let's read out tonight's winner for the two tickets to the Bulls versus Leeds Centurions Battle for the Championship match on Sunday the 19th. Next Sunday, set to be the biggest game for the club this year, and we've got to make an apology. Producer Leon,
Ewan.
Producer Ewan actually tweeted out three teams. I think Canberra Raiders, Manly, and South Sydney Rabbitohs. And Adam Bell tweeted and said, actually, it's neither of those. He actually played for Penrith, which is what we've been saying the whole show long. So we've given producer Ewan a metaphorical uppercut. But the winning tickets will go to Adam Bell. Congratulations. Round of applause for Adam. Yay. Actually, let's have a look at one of the hot topics, which actually one of the questions that one of our supporters tweeted in earlier today. This comes from Gareth Summers. This is the postman Pertz. Adrian, did Adrian ever think his career was over when he had the heart attack? Was that in 2012?
Yes, it was. 2012. Yeah, my first year over here.
Did you actually think that's it?
Yeah, definitely. Scariest time of my life by far. I was a bit lost and confused at the time because I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. To begin with, I got a couple of doctors' opinions, and the first two up in Leeds said, no, I won't play again, which is fair enough.
So you went to another doctor.
I found some guy at the back of somewhere, and he said, yeah, I'm sweet. So just ran with that. But no, I think I went down to a specialist in London who actually works with, I think, from 18 to 30-year-olds, and he just gave me so much confidence in the fact that my heart worked normally still. It functioned normally.
What actually happened, Adrian, on the bus on the way home from Magic Weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it just started before. So we played at the Magic Weekend and played 80 minutes and got through the game fine. It was quite a tough game against Leeds. Probably 10, 15 minutes after I had a shower, just felt like I had real bad heartburn, indigestion. I just went and saw the doc and just slowly got worse and worse. They put me on the bus. No one thought it was a heart attack, as you would, but thankfully they got off the motorway at Huddersfield and went to emergency, and they put me on an ECG and said, yeah, you're having a heart attack.
Did you pass out or were you awake?
No, I was awake the whole time.
You scared?
Yeah, definitely. I think until I got to the Huddersfield emergency, the doctor came in, he put his hand on my shoulder and goes, mate, you're having a heart attack. Don't be worried, you'll be all right, we'll get you to Leeds. And I started crying by myself.
Mate, you're having a heart attack.
So in the hospital, like, you found out?
Yeah, in Huddersfield emergency. So
they hook you up to some machines and
ECG,
they...
ECG, yeah. And then they just got me in the back of an ambulance. I don't remember much of that trip.
So what from there on in, what was the doctor's advice? Is there a risk of this happening again, or are you safe, or what's the verdict?
Have more risk than just someone that hasn't had a heart attack, but the way my heart is functioning, it's just as good as anyone else. So they put me down in London on a fitness test where I had an ECG and everything on. It was an 18-minute test, and I think I got to 17 and a half minutes. And he said, well, we get athletes down here that don't even get to 17 and a half minutes. So he said, the way your heart works, it functions normally. So it's just like a scar on your wrist. Your wrist still works normally, but you've got a scar on your heart.
So is there a reason why it happened? Could they give you a reason, or is it just very random?
No, that's the hardest thing. I think it was probably a number of different things, just with being dehydrated, the heat, just exertion of the game. It was just a really tough game. I think maybe just a number of things came together at one time, and it was just really unlucky.
That is just... Leon, you'll agree with me, and everyone will agree with me. That's just an incredible story. That absolutely.
I think even after everything that's happened in rugby with the Danny Jones thing and the Leon Walker and Adam Watsina, it's a scary time. It's, you know, it's scary for rugby players. Even
a little bit older, you had Roy Powell and your St. John Ellis as well.
Yeah, you're listening to them stories. It's frightening. So I'm glad everything's worked out.
It's been brilliant for the Bradford Bulls fans, especially see you back on the field also. So all the best of luck in the future
as well.
I'm sure everything's going to be fine. Let's have a look at some of the upcoming games for the weekend. This evening in the Kingston Press Championship, Leeds Centurions have a midweek game against Hunslet after having a long run in the Challenge Cup. But the first Super League game of the week will be Wigan Warriors versus the Leeds Rhinos. Leon, let's start with yourself. You've played both these teams this year. Wigan lost Warrington last weekend, last Thursday night, I think they underperformed. Warrington were hot though, but Leeds Rhinos also, they performed very well. So how do you think this game's going to go? Leeds travelling down to Wigan.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game. This is always one of the best games of the season, is Wigan versus Leeds. So like you say, Leeds in fantastic form. I played against Leeds only a couple of weeks ago and I find them very, very difficult to play against. I think for me, they've got the most outstanding back line in Super League. So I make some slight favourites, but Wigan will definitely be looking to bounce back. You know what Sean Wayne's like after a loss, so they'll be a dangerous team, will Wigan.
Perth, you keep your eye on the Super League a bit. How do you see this game going to go?
Yeah, I do. I try and watch as many games as I can, and same as Leon, I love watching Leeds, the way they play. Just when they're on, they're just a great team to watch, and their back line's just so dangerous. They've got so many match winners in their back line, so you'd imagine Leeds would get up in that one.
I mean, they do play a very, you know, all the teams like to play with that lead runner, players out the back to try and create an overlap. But Leeds are, to a lot of extents, that exception to the rule, because they do play with a lot of offloads, don't they?
Leeds actual first up attacking player, their actual lead runners run into holes. It's not that dangerous. It's the play after. So you make the tackle, they offload it, and then you give ball to Rob Burrow or Danny Maguire or Zach Hardacre or Callum Watkins. And then you're in trouble, because them guys can beat anybody one-on-one.
And then on the edges, they've got
Ryan,
Hall. And
Ryan Hall, Joel Moon.
Yeah, a bunch of young players coming through. They have some real striking speed on them as well.
And then when that breaks down and they can't get any further, gives it to Sinfield and he puts a great kick in, and then they're down there and the other end of the field. So they're a very, very dangerous team.
They're a well-balanced team, aren't they? They've got good structure, a solid structure, but they've got some amazing individuals in the team that are just strike weapons.
Just remember as well, that team has not changed much over the last 10 years.
Yep.
That team's got the nucleus of players that have been in the academy since we're 15. Kevin Sinfield's there since we're 13, so they just add players that fit to that structure of the club over the years. And next year will be the big year when they lose a few players, but they're a fantastic team at the moment.
Next game up, Perth, looking at St Helens and Huddersfield on Friday night. Both teams, well, Saints didn't play too well last weekend. Huddersfield had the win. Both teams top four contenders.
Yeah, Huddersfield have been playing really well, but I did see the end of that Saints game, and you could see why their skipper and their coach, I think the words they used were disgusted in the performance.
Yep.
And a club that's so proud and successful as St Helens, you'd imagine they'd be really hard to beat at home. They'll bounce back after that performance.
Leon, you guys are facing off against Castleford at home this weekend. You're looking for some points. You need the points.
Do you ever? It's going to be a really tough game. You know,
every game matters now for you guys.
Yeah, Castle have come in some form of late. It's going to be a tough game, as we know. We need the 2 points. It's going to be really, really hard. I think if I'm honest, it's a game that we could win. We're not that far off. But it's going to be tough. We've beaten them once this season. They've beaten us once, so it's the decider.
Perth, Salford Red Devils will be playing at home to hold KR. Both of those teams really battling it out to try and get themselves into the top eight.
Yeah, well, Salford had a good win on the weekend, and I think they've got plenty of quality players in their squad, so it's surprising to see them so far down. And, you know, that'll be an interesting game, because it looks like two teams that we could come up against in the middle eight, but I'd imagine Salford would be too strong there.
Now, the other two games in the Super League, Wakefield Wildcats will play Warrington Wolves. We've spoken about that one already. Widnes Vikings will also host Catalan Dragons. Catalan's struggling at this point in time to get wins away from home. In the Kingston Press Championship, Dewsbury at home to London Broncos. Doncaster are at home to Hunslet Hawks. And with that being Hunslet's second game of the weekend, this may be the opportunity for Donny to pick up their first points of the season. Halifax will be at home to Batley. Lee Centurions will be at home to Featherstone Rovers. Be an interesting one, that game. Purchasing a look at the Sheffield Eagles. Quick look at the Sheffield Eagles and Bradford Bulls this weekend. How are we shaping up?
Yeah, mate, we'll be good. We had a good win against Hunslet on the weekend, and we needed to bounce back after a disappointing game against Fev. But Sheffield have been a quality team all year, and that's why they're in third. So we're going to have to be on top of our game to win that.
Leon, what about the final game of the championship? Whitehaven versus Workington, two Cumbrian lads, bunch of lads going at each other.
Massive rugby town for both teams. So yeah, it'll be a good game. I've got no idea who's going to win.
All right, thanks a lot, you guys. It's been a good show this evening. That's it for this week's. Big thanks to all of you for listening at home, wherever you are tonight. Make sure you join us next Wednesday. Total Access is next here on Pulse One. So enjoy your lives, love your families, and live your rugby. I'm Robbie Hunter-Paul, and thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1. Every Wednesday evening from 6.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident. A Yorkshire business since 1880.
Pulse 1.